Here's the story now. You remember we did a story on this SARS issue two nights ago with Dr. Henry Nyman, and then last night did an update about the SARS and SARS-like virus issue, which is happening in Wuhan, China. Well, we wondered last night about deaths. No reported deaths yet. That has changed now. And what Henry has done, among other things, he has been feverishly working on this story. He laid out side by side the progression of SARS in 2002, the end of the year, and early 2003, and how it broke loose and spread and killed so many people. The parallels between that and this new SARS-like coronavirus are very important. We're going to talk about that, and I want you to pay close attention. And if you don't have any Allison C. at home, for goodness sakes, get it now. Don't wait. I'm not trying to stir the fear pot. I'm just telling you, you need to have this at home for a number of reasons. But if this virus gets loose, you're going to want to have it real quick. Just a thought. We're tracking it for you. One fatality reported, at least six in critical condition, dozens hospitalized right now in China. Henry, thank you for being back tonight. We knew this was going to happen. It just happened a little quicker than we thought.
Yeah, it definitely was quicker than, the death wasn't necessarily quicker than there were seven patients. They changed the description a little bit, but they mostly have been critical and severe. And the latest English one has a serious. I don't know if their conditions are changing or they're just changing how they're describing them. But there were seven cases from the very beginning that were sicker than all the others. And I had said a couple days ago that, people can stay on the ECMO machine for quite some time. But, it's hard to tell exactly how sick they were. But the fact that they didn't all recover was not a surprise, although I guess it probably was a little quicker than I was expecting. I thought that slowly but surely some of these patients would start dying, but not necessarily as quick as it is. I mean, all of the cases, especially the severe ones, I believe they all developed symptoms between the middle of December and the end of December. So they've been, in the hospital. Some have been for 10 days and some have been closer to 20-25. And 20 to 25 is getting close to the type of incubation that that's when a lot of the patients in 2003 would start to die. They would get stabilized and they'd be on ECMO machines for 2-4 weeks. But many of them, especially the ones that were in their 40s, more really in the 50s and 60s, those were the ones that did the poorest. There weren't that many real old people, and the younger ones pretty much recovered. So that was the story with the SARS. And as you mentioned, there this new virus, it wasn't really clear exactly what its structure was and its sequence was, and it was something that evolved over the this year, so to speak. It started to get a little bit clearer at the beginning. beginning of the year, but it still wasn't quite clear because it was all very preliminary. So the first indication in print that had, you know, a fair amount of credibility was a description of this virus at the beginning of the year, like on January 1st. And that statement said that, you know, they had some sequence data. It was 4% coverage. So there's 30,000 letters. So they had 4% of them done. So they had about 1,200 letters. And that the homology was low. And, you know, some people misinterpreted that and thought they had a 4% homology, which, you know, is not a
define homology for us, Henry, please. Homology. What does it mean in your work?
It's the same as identity. So if you looked at these 30,000 letters, well, you only had 1,200 of them. That is what percentage of those 1,200 are exact matches in the sample that you're looking at. So that's what they're referring to when they talk about how homologous it is, you know, how identical it is.
Uh-huh.
How many identities. So, you know, scientists use a lot of jargon. They kind of know what they mean when they talk to each other, but nobody else does. So it's good to ask questions because a lot of these things you kind of lose track on what's common knowledge and what isn't. But anyway, so 4% identity is an identity at all. There's only four letters, you know, and the identity isn't they got the same letters because there's only three other possibilities for each letter. It has to do with, you know, the order of all of the sequences. So right. It's not that they all have A's, G's, and C's. It's that they're in the same order over certain regions. So, you know, I interpreted what he had said was that, you know, they didn't want to say a whole lot because they only had 4% and that, you know, there were a lot of differences along there. So they didn't want to say a whole lot. But those who do sequencing know that 4% of 30,000 is still a pretty big number. It's like 1,200. And, you know, to identify this identity or homology, you essentially just, you do a search. You just take the sequence and put it up against the library of all these different sequences. And as I said a little earlier, there's a couple of days ago that at GeneBank, there's over 41,000 coronavirus sequences. So you put the sequence in, it goes in. I mean, it goes through millions of sequences, but it, you know, zips to the coronaviruses because they're going to have the highest homology with this sequence because it was from a coronavirus, and so to get a match. You know, four letters doesn't sound like a whole lot, but it's what order they're in. And you can have a sequence about 20 and put it up against this database of millions of different sequences, and it'll zip in there and it'll get the right one. You know, 20 is about all that you need because, you know, four letters and to get them all in the same sequence for 20 in a row, where you have four to pick from at each position, it doesn't really happen very often. So 20 is about all you really need. So they had 1,200. So if you've got 1,200, you're going to be able to go into the database and know what kind of virus you have. And and so at the beginning of the year, they knew it was a coronavirus. And they knew, frankly, after seeing the sequence, they knew it was not just a coronavirus, but they knew it was SARS-like coronavirus. It wasn't MERS. It wasn't any of these other coronaviruses that produce fairly benign disease. It wasn't like the coronaviruses that are in pigs, or the coronaviruses that are in dogs, the coronaviruses in cats, or the coronaviruses in cat and cows, bovine. They were like the coronavirus that was in Hong Kong in 2002.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they knew this, and they kind of described it by saying, well, it's most closely related to bats, and that is true. They are most closely related to bats, but.
Henry, we're going to have to come up with a name for this virus. We're going to call it the Wuhan virus or SARS 2.0. What are we going to call it? The Wuhan virus?
I don't know. I don't think they're going to call it the Wuhan virus because
they don't want that kind of PR. No,
it stigmatizes,
and
some complained. Some complained when they came up with the name of MERS for Middle East.
They did. I remember.
Syndrome.
Yeah.
And
let's call it SARS 2.0 then, just for fun.
But the criticism about MERS, I don't think was really justified because it didn't pick a given country. It picked a given area.
No, it didn't name any country or a city. No, of course not.
And that virus so far has been pretty much limited to the Middle East in part because, it's in camels. So it's not like, I don't remember which is which, whether it's got one hump or two humps, but it's dromedary, I think, and I don't know which it is. But that's what it's limited to. It's not even any camels. It's camels in the Middle East, So it turns out, and actually it's related to bats, but it's most closely related to bats, coronaviruses from bats in the Middle East. So it is kind of geographically limited. This Wuhan virus, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be limited to Wuhan because, like I said, it goes and zooms in on the virus that was, down in southern China, and so it's SARS-like, and the SARS cases initially started in Guangdong province, and Guangdong is in southern, southwestern China, if you will, and this is kind of in central China.
All right, here's the question: is it close enough to SARS that we can just call it SARS 2.0? What do we call it?
They haven't said enough about the symptoms to know exactly how close they are, but I think they are going to be, pretty close. And that's the I'm going to go through give a comparison of what the Wuhan.
Now this is what Henry's talking about. This is very important as we track this new virus that has gotten loose and seemingly come out of, recombination land is what it has. Go ahead, Henry.
Well, how much recombination there is in this sequence? And before, I'm going to keep referring to the sequence. So before we go too far, I just want to, make an acknowledgement. This has been a challenge because technically, from my end, actually from anybody that wants to see this sequence, because GeneBank has had major technical problems in access.
They've been down
for the last 2 days, right?
Are they hacked? Were they hacked? Do we know?
I don't. All I know is I know that somebody had called and asked them, and they said they had 750 complaints yesterday. And this is actually PubMed. This is NCBI, and it's got different branches. So it's got one branch is GeneBank, one branch is actually to do the analysis of the sequences, one branch is to get to journals, PubMed. And so it's got a whole lot of different components, all of which are down. The basic site is down, and all of these sub sites off it. There's a medical library, Congress or something. I don't even know, you know, what they're all called exactly, but they're all down. And here in Pittsburgh, they were down in the beginning of the day yesterday. And it wasn't just there. I mean, there's a, you know, sites you can go to that say, you know, is it up or what is it me type of a thing. And people just post and say, you know, in this case, I'm in Manchester, England, and I can't get to the site. I'm in Washington. I'm in California. Yeah. And so it was all over the place. And then it turned out that, the people started posting that, they use Xfinity, and that basically if they used Xfinity, they couldn't get to the site. But if they were on their phone and they disconnected from Xfinity, then they could. And sure enough, that's what happened here. So I could get to the site on my phone, but I couldn't get to the site on my desktop. And
I see.
You know, these are big sequences and stuff, and it's hard to do this. You know, the analysis.
Well, you've been working, I know, very, very hard on this, and you seem to have surmounted it.
It came back on last night, you know, mm-hmm. and so it was mm-hmm. on, and I thought, well, now it's going to, you know, it's back, they got it fixed, because they said they expected to, they were working on it, and they thought it would be back by the end of the day, and it literally was the end of the day, it was close to midnight when it came back on, I thought everything was all set, mm-hmm. and then at 4 o'clock this morning, I went on, and guess what,
it was down again.
So it was down. It was the same type of thing. And I was thinking, you know, these guys might have the sequence and want to upload it to GeneBank, and they're not even going to be able to upload it. And so, indeed, I think that's what happened. So there was speculation when the sequence was going to be released or when it wasn't going to be released, or people were worried they weren't going to release it right away. And as I said, last night, that, you know, it's very important that you need the sequence to make specific probes so you have an idea exactly what's going on, and what isn't. You know, if you recall, I don't know, maybe you don't even know, but back, the same type of issue kind of came up as far as the sequence and how soon it was going to be released. And, you know, some scientists don't like releasing the sequence till they publish it because publications don't like you basically submitting stuff that's already in the public domain. So they don't want you to release the sequence before you publish it. And so for SARS, they ended up putting those sequences up on their individual website so that if you went to the website of the lab that was doing the sequencing, you could get the sequence. So you had to bop around from one lab to the other if you wanted to start accumulating these sequences. But they were available. And I didn't know what they were going to do here because it wasn't even totally clear who was doing the sequence. It was clear that it was being done in China. But China does have a lot of labs now, and it wasn't really 100% clear what labs were actually doing it and where they were. But this evening, it did get posted on Twitter. And so I want to just kind of acknowledge who did all this work. And it was a collaboration. And the head of the group was Yongzhen Zhang from Shanghai Public Health and Fudan University in Shanghai. So he headed it. It was a big collaboration because they also had Central Hospital of Wuhan. So that's where they were getting the patients. And then Hangzhou University of Science in the Wuhan Center for Disease Control and Prevention in the National Institute for Communicable Control and Prevention, the Chinese Center for Disease Control, University of Sydney, Australia, was involved. And
you were involved with this too. Oh.
Yeah, yeah, and Eddie Holmes is actually who in Sydney who basically had the sequence, and so they put up a URL and you could download the sequence, and so I got the sequence tonight after I was thinking about coming on because there was a death, so I was going to come on and talk to you about the death. And actually, I was on the phone when my phone kept on ringing again and again. I finally answered it, and it was the sequence is out. And so I went and I got the sequence, and all was going along well because the main site was back up again, and so they had the accession number. I put the accession number in, and that didn't work because they haven't fully annotated it yet. So it says it's been deposited, but it's not available yet.
So
it is at GeneBank. But,
okay.
but then
right.
The trick was once I had the sequence, you have to do the analysis. And you have to blast it. That's how you do these searches. And guess what? Blast was still down. So, okay, you want to take a break?
Yeah, we have to take a break. But let me do this. When we come back, this is we're going to do the parallels between how SARS began.
I'll do the parallels. I'll tell you what's in the sequence too.
Okay, this is really important. Also, just a general question: let's not say anything negative, but how quickly are we getting crucial information from Chinese health authorities at this point? Normally, slowly, quickly? How would you term it?
You're getting some information quickly, but there's some key information that'd be nice to know a little bit more about.
Being withheld. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back with Henry. Now, I want you to listen to this coming up because it's important. Those of you who remember SARS, to watch where this one's going. All right. Back in a minute. Okay, we're back with Henry. All right, Henry, let's go ahead, because what we talked about off the air earlier was very, very interesting. We'll see. Go ahead.
Okay, well, what prompted the discussion earlier was some of the comments and some of the things I was going to talk about more before there was the death and before there was the sequence, but... the idea was there's a lot of articles that came out because it became clear this was a SARS-like coronavirus, and a lot of people had opinions as to how serious this was because there was the experience with SARS in 2002, 2003, and actually it kind of came back at the end of 2003. I'll get to that shortly. They did call again, it kind of disappeared. So it's been gone since the end of 2003, beginning 2004. And so there has been no SARS-like cases up until a couple of weeks ago. And, so some were saying that, this is a SARS-like virus, but, it's not as bad as SARS because, SARS, almost 800 people died and, there were 8,000 people that were infected. And so, this isn't that bad. There's only, you know, 50 cases, and it's not even clear how many of those 50 cases are really positive. They just have, you know, the same symptoms. So clinically, they look like they fit the same pattern, but they haven't really been lab confirmed because they didn't really have a virus yet. And some when, you know, said, well, you know, there's like six different coronaviruses that infect humans, and only two of those six are really bad. There's SARS and MERS, and SARS hasn't been around since, you know, the end of 2004. So, you know, this may just be another coronavirus that can infect humans, but it doesn't really do that much damage and isn't that big a deal. And then others were saying, you know, they went and got real excited when they found these newer ones. There were two older viruses, and then because of SARS, researchers started looking, and they came up with a couple other ones, and they found out they were in humans, and they got real excited, and then it turned out that they're in humans, but they produce a very mild disease, just like the two older ones that have been known for a long time. So they were saying, yeah, you got this virus, and look at it. You know, what's going on? There have been no deaths, and they actually said there's been no human-to-human transmission. And, you know, the idea that they didn't have any human-to-human transmission, you know, sounded a little bit suspect because these viruses are in mammals, and they jump species, and they clearly had, you know, quite a few people in the hospital, and seven of them were severely ill, and seven severe cases out of, you know, maybe 50 is a pretty high percentage of people to be hospitalized in critical condition. And I kind of said, well, it's really apples to oranges, because you're kind of looking at what the situation is, outbreak that's only been around for 2 or 3 weeks, and you're comparing to an outbreak that lasted for like 6 months in 2002, 2003. And, you know, I started looking at the numbers to see exactly where things were. And, you know, we had talked about the Metropole Hotel, and, you know, I remember all the key incidences. I mean, I remember the Metropole Hotel and how it spread out from there and went to Toronto and Hanoi and Singapore and Hong Kong, and that kind of started things rolling. And so I pulled up an older article, and an article that was actually, it was an AP article, and it was written in March 21st of 2003. And they kind of described what the situation is, and they had just kind of made public that there was, that the Metropole Hotel was really a significant event as far as a significant incident that led to the spread internationally, because they knew that the cases in Toronto and the cases in Hanoi and the cases in Singapore and cases in Hong Kong all had something to do with the ninth floor of the Metropole Hotel. And they kind of gave a summary of where things stood at that point, which was, you know, not in January, not in February, but, you know, towards the end of March. And they noted that, you know, the outbreak had begun back in November, and it had been in Guangdong province. And if you recall, it was real hard to get any information back then. And ProMed actually gained notoriety because they were reporting a mystery disease in China that China wasn't really talking about, but they would get these rumors that, you know, people were going to the hospital, some of them were dying, the ones that were dying really weren't that old. The ones who were in the hospital, some were, you know, seriously ill. And, but you really didn't start getting an idea of what was going on until, you know, towards the end of January, beginning of February, that he started getting some acknowledgement that there was some disease. And then that got everybody concerned because nobody knew what the virus was. There wasn't any real obvious treatment for the virus. And he kept getting people that were going to the hospital. So I kind of looked at what they said, and they noted that there had been, cases in Guangdong province, but the number of cases was, at that point, 300. And out of those 300, the number of deaths was just five. So there were only five deaths in, November, December, and January combined. So 3 months, five deaths. So it wasn't initially this type of virus that everybody that came anywhere near anyone got infected. And in fact, what they had noted then and for a while thereafter was that the virus was kind of spread by what they call super spreaders, that there were individuals that seemed to be able to infect a large number of people, whereas most of the people that got infected did not infect a whole lot of others. And so there was knowledge of the super spreader, and the Metropole Hotel was an example of what could happen in an extreme way with those super spreaders. So in the first 3 months, there was a grand total of five deaths that had been reported anyway. And then things started to take off with the Metropole Hotel. And they noted that at that time, in the past 3 weeks, so for the first 3 weeks of March, there had been 10 deaths. So between, so at the time of this article, which was, March 21st, there had only been 15 deaths reported for the entire outbreak. And 10 of them, many of those were linked to the Metropole Hotel. The doctor that went there had died, his brother had died, the woman who was like 78 who went to Toronto, she had died, and her son had died, and the three women that went to Singapore had who were sisters had touched off a major outbreak there, and the one businessman that went to Hanoi had touched off an outbreak there. So wherever these people went, they had family members and hospital workers, but when they went there, nobody really knew what was going on. They had been kept under wraps in Guangdong, so they it was mostly in this rumor stage, and these other places were not in China. I mean, they were in Hong Kong was the closest, but they were in Vietnam, which was kind of close, Singapore, which is kind of not there, and all the way over in Toronto. So even if they knew there was a problem by reading about it in Canada, at the time, they didn't really think that, this is one flight away, which is became real popular after it spread. So If you take a step back and look, that there was virtually nothing going on in the first 3 weeks of that outbreak, and at the time, yesterday the number was sitting at 59 cases that were at in Wuhan, and so 59 is a pretty good number for just over like a 2 week period. All the people that were there had developed symptoms, and so then came the news today that one of the seven that were critically ill had died, And then they made another announcement that they had done more extensive testing. Earlier today, there was a report that kind of gave a little bit more detail that as far as who had been tested. And they said that, you know, they had done testing and they got 15 patients that tested positive. And they had, I think it was another 24 patients that had tested negative. And as I said before, it's not really clear what those patients that tested negative were because, you know, they've never tested positive because they didn't have a test to run. So it's not really clear that all of those 24 were really infected. But, you know, they did have the right types of symptoms. But then today they came out and they did more testing because it was clear that the numbers didn't add up. It was like 25 people still hadn't been tested or they hadn't got the results back yet. And so today the number went up to 41. So now there's been 41 confirmed cases. So 41 confirmed cases, you know, comparing what things were like in 2002, would probably be, you know, closer to 80, 90 cases that at least had symptoms and they could have had the disease. This one they got 41 have actually been confirmed. And if you think about it, you know, the idea that, well, there wasn't human-to-human transmission, it'd be hard to get 41 people that were infected with this virus without any additional spread human-to-human. And then another report came out that said, well, they, you know, an unnamed source had said that there really were one or two clusters within a family. So now they had moved into this category where there was human-to-human transmission, but it was limited to the family members. And, of course, that was people that got infected when they didn't really know that they had a SARS-like virus. And so people didn't, you know, family members didn't know how seriously ill these people were. They probably were taking care of them at home. And so they wouldn't have the types of precautions that they would be taking in hospitals. And so in 2002, that was a lot of the activity with healthcare workers was because they didn't really know how contagious the virus was. And as I said, it wasn't always that contagious. It was mostly contagious from these super spreaders. And then some other numbers that came out, from recollection, is that things were just starting to take off with the Metropole Hotel. And, you know, those couple of patients that went to Toronto ended up turning into, I think it was like 150 or so. And then I said there was that apartment complex. It's called Amoy Gardens, and it's kind of a middle-class kind of high-rise complex there. And one person was infected, and they were at home, and I think they were kind of vomiting into their toilet, and the ventilation system wasn't great, so when they flushed the toilet, it kind of aerosolized things that kind of went through the ventilation.
People have no idea about that, Henry, that you go into a bathroom near a toilet that's been actively used, especially a public restroom, and the air is loaded with pathogens. It is. Yeah. It just is. People don't think like that.
In this case, it was loaded with SARS. And that one apartment complex ended up resulting in 300 SARS cases. So
think about this. That's how volatile SARS was. All right, we have seven minutes, so you're going to have to move. Go ahead.
Okay. So it then spread quite a bit after that. So most of the spread was really in April, the beginning of May. And so the way they got up to 8,000 people and 800 that died, that really happened like 5 or 6 months after the virus really started to spread. So, you know, looking at the virus has only been around for 2 or 3 weeks. And claiming that it wasn't person to person, but there's already some reports that there is person to person, and claiming there's no deaths, and now there definitely already is a death. that this virus is really ahead of SARS. That it's got more activity in the first 2 or 3 weeks than SARS did. And so the question is, what does this virus look like? And so the sequence came out, and in spite of a lot of technical issues, I got somebody else to actually, because it turned out that I got the sequence, and then I went to do a blast on it, which is to run it up against the database, and the blast was down. blast is still down here, and since then, the rest of NIH went down, so it's totally down again. But in any event, I did get somebody to run it and actually posted it at the Recombinomics website, and so I've got the top 100 matches for this sequence, and I normally do a little more analysis as to how much recombination is going on, et cetera, but I need the blast to work to do that. And so I haven't really gotten beyond looking at the 100 that are most like it. And it turns out that the top two matches are both bat viruses, and they kind of said that. They said that, you know, it's closer to bats than there was for the human cases. But it was only for the top two, and both of those viruses are listed as SARS-like. It's not like any old bat coronavirus out there that who knows what it does. These are closely related to SARS, and they're actually from northern China. They're from Nanjing, I think. Hold on, let me get it. They're from Nanjing, which actually is not that far from Wuhan. So the bats that have this virus are kind of like the virus that's in the patients. But then after you look at the top two matches, then all of a sudden you're into human cases. So, you know, I'm talking about the top 100, and, you know, number three on the list is a human case. And but it's not the human case that was at the beginning of the SARS outbreak, which was 2002-2003. It was from people that were infected in the second round that started again at the end of 2003. And mm-hmm. So the more evolved virus is what this one's most closely related to.
Okay, this is important. Now, hold on. I got to jump in here. We got 3 minutes. Henry just summed it up. At this point in SARS 2.0, we have a virus that is, let's call it, more mature, more lethal, more infectious than the original SARS was at the same point in time. Far more. By a magnitude of many. Understand that.
And what's missing from this outbreak, which there's a reasonable chance it's not going to be missing for long, is a super spreader. And so, right. You know, you've got seven people there. And so the healthcare workers haven't gotten ill, and other casual contacts from these patients hasn't gotten ill. The closer family members have. So it can go human to human. But SARS didn't infect everybody. SARS basically got these bursts of, you had a super spreader, and all of a sudden people, and it probably has to do with viral load. And so you get somebody that's really sick, and they infect somebody, and they start with a higher amount, and they get really sick and come into contact. Then it can spread, you know, relatively easy, especially back in 2002 when people didn't really even know what was going on. Okay, and just to run down this list, you know, a little bit further, after you get to the second outbreak in humans, then it matches the civet cat. So the civet cats are next in line. And then after the civet cats come cases that were in the first outbreak. So, I told you yesterday there's 41,000 coronavirus sequences at GenBank. This one that was identified at Wuhan overlooked almost all of those different versions. They didn't look at the pig viruses, and they didn't look at the horse viruses, the dog and the cat viruses, and the cow viruses. They looked at the SARS coronavirus that caused all the problems in humans, and except for two bat sequences. So it is the same one. It's a beta coronavirus. It's like this 2B version of it that was very novel when it came out in SARS. And so sequence-wise, it looks like there's some issues. And my guess is there's some serious issues with regard to recombination. I haven't had a chance to look at that yet. But this is not a virus you want to take lightly. And then the other issue that's still a wild card is they really don't know where, what the source was. And, there's some speculation that it was bats because they actually sold bats at this wet market. So it might have been more direct and going directly from bats to humans as opposed to the prior outbreak that pretty much used the civet cats as an intermediary host. But it's not a virus. It's, this one's different, and it's really not that bad, and it's kind of like these milder versions. This is a serious virus, and if it's in humans, and like I say, the number's up to 41 confirmed cases now.
Right.
And
right.
The things that are missing are exactly who these patients are that are coming in.
We wish we knew.
Where are they getting sick?
Where are they coming into contact with SARS 2.0? We don't know, but we'll find out and let you know. If this, all we need is one super spreader, one Metropole hotel, and we're off and running.
The races.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Henry, for all the hard work.
Okay.
I know how difficult it is. All right.
Well, more next week. Okay.
Yes, sir. All right. Good night. Okay. There you go. All right. It may not sound like much to you now. It's a long way away, and one dead, and six critical, 40-some others hospitalized. But the numbers could actually be much larger than that, and probably will be fairly quickly. All right, have a wonderful weekend. Talk to you Monday night, and best of course, around the clock here, and Sunday evening.